be late when I get out of here. Okay.
Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Dakota County Board of Corrections meetings, Monday, December 14th, 2009, 4 p.m.
Meeting will please come to order. Would you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the sidewall near the entrance to the County Board of Commissioners room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Call the roll, please.
Buskay?
Here.
Rohde?
Here.
McNair?
Here.
Gomez?
Here.
McLarty?
Here. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, which you all received a copy.
So moved to approve the meeting.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the meetings. Any corrections or additions? Corrections or additions?
Oh, yes. On that that census deal, that's it says February 1st till March, but it's 2010 instead of 2009. I made the motion for that on that there, and it's printed wrong right at the back. See where it is?
Yeah. February 15th,
21st. Yeah. That's the only thing. I just want to make sure that gets changed.
Okay.
Okay. Any other corrections or changes for you?
Not now. That's it.
Last chance. Call roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Next item is to approve the payroll claims. I have reviewed them, and small minor things. They've been corrected by Joni's making phone calls, so it's ready for approval.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded to approve the payroll claims as presented. Questions, comments? All right.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
Thank you. At this time, we will recess and go into the Board of Commissioners meeting.
Corrections.
Corrections. What did I say? Oh. Well, you got to watch me because I'm pretty tricky. Okay. With that, we'll call to order the Board of Corrections. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance to this room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Thank you. Approval of the minutes, which were handed out last week or before that, maybe 2 weeks ago.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes as printed. Any corrections? Hearing none, call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
Neer?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I move to the jail report. Mr. Kern?
Okay, you think you've all got a copy of the jail report in front of you. The first sheet of the jail report's the same as it always is. I added a second sheet here that would give you some information on just being able to take a look at that at a glance. And you can tell how many people we had that were county inmates, how many were federal, how many were juveniles, and our total in-house population refers to all of those persons that are behind our walls, not farmed out for juvenile detention, but how many adults we have behind our walls. And you can see how many we had for November, what we had for the calendar year 2009, what we had for the fiscal year, which began July 1st. And it also delineates the marshal's income for what we got in November, which was higher than we had in the previous month. We've taken in for the fiscal year, our calendar intake,
and the per diem cost per inmate, what it costs us to house an inmate month by month by month, and what the average is for the fiscal year and the average of that is for the calendar year. It also shows you how much it costs us to house a juvenile for the month of November, how much it costs to house a juvenile per day on our fiscal year. So it gives you, and this will be the format that we'll follow, or at least I'll be following from now on. So you'll always have that in front of you on a monthly basis to see exactly how much we are for this month. Is it higher than last month? And you can see trends and project where you think the future might go, or on basis of what you see here. So I think it's a more informative document, and that's why it's done like this. The first page is, as I say, is the same as before. The high points, I think, would be that the total facility population for the new facility in the month of November was more than 99. And 99 is our legal cap. And the facility population for the old jail was about 22.5. And we can hold as many as 42 people in the old jail, but they have to be classified as minimum individuals. This time around, we've had more significant offenders, more felons, more individuals who do not qualify for minimum detention. And so as a result, our facility population has been higher with more county felons. The marshals numbers have stabilized at about 25.4. We had about 25 for the month. So far for this month, we're up around 27. So we're running a little higher in December than we did in November. I think that by the end of the year, we'll be around 825,000 for our calendar income from the Marshal Service. And we've expended 37% of our authorized budget, but we're 4.6% below budget, or in terms of dollars, it's about $138,000 under our authorized budget for the year. The high points of what we've done in November: we placed a new camera system in the new jail, which allows us to simultaneously observe the top tier, lower tier, and the day room. Previously, the camera system was located outside the pods, and it only showed us a picture of what's going on in the pods through the glass, and never the top tier, only day room. Now we have cameras mounted inside those pods without any obstruction that allows us to see exactly what's happening in all of them simultaneously, and we can switch to any one of them specifically, get a blow-up of that, and record the events for anything that's happening anywhere in the pods. So it makes us a much better security system for observing what's happening in that in jail. I've attached a copy of the Fire Marshal's inspection sheet. It came November the 17th. The first thing that the Marshal did was to, he's a supervisory Fire Marshal. The first thing he did was to apologize because he had to terminate the inspector who had been here on our previous inspections for his failure to do the job. He just was checking boxes and not looking and didn't do what he was supposed to be doing. So as a result, we went the other way and we got a really comprehensive examination. And we had 20 items that were listed as deficiencies. Of those items that are listed, 8 of them are actually in the new building. And we've corrected, to date, we've managed to correct 14 of the 20. So we have 6 other ones that we have to handle. Item number 6 on your inspection sheet is a fairly important piece of equipment. It's called the sprinkler system post indicator valve, and that should have been attached to our main fire alarm system. And what that is, post indicator shows whether or not we actually have water in the hydrants. If we're going to have water flowing through the sprinkler system in case of a fire, post indicator tells you that you either have water or you don't have water. And the way that alarm system works is if somebody makes 3 turns on that valve, it sends an alarm that says somebody's tampered with your valve. And so we have to go out and find out what's going on with that valve. It should have been hooked up that when the building was built. It was not. And so as a result, we've been dealing with a company to come in and take a look at our problem associated fire protection. And if the system can be hooked up with a matter of wires that actually is connected to something that would show water flow, then it's a question of hooking up the wires that have been hanging loose. If it's not, and we actually have to sink pipe to make connections, then it's going to be a question of getting a trencher, somebody to run the trencher,
and putting PCB pipe down to do the job the way it was supposed to be done in the first place. It just wasn't done when the building was built. So that could be a fairly expensive project depending upon the availability of equipment. Now, I know you work for roads and you do good. We got a trencher?
No. We got no trencher.
We have no trencher.
We got a
backhoe.
It's a backhoe, but no trencher.
And the backhoe might be taking a shotgun on a fly hunt. We'll have to see. Because we have to get under the sidewalk, and I think if we can get with the trencher under, we're going to tear up that sidewalk. We'll know more when they come out and take a look at that section of it.
Question, Terry.
Yeah.
Item number 6, we're talking about the sprinkler system in the new building, right?
Right.
Was this not something that should have been discovered on the final inspection?
Should have been discovered on the final inspection by the fire marshal's office. They should have been the ones that found that. Normally, in a larger community, I don't know how it is here in rural area, but in a large community like Sioux City, fire marshal's office has somebody in their office that's a plan checker that looks at all of the plans as they're submitted, the blueprints and everything, to see whether they meet the fire code, and then they come out and inspect to make sure that when it's built, it matches the plans. Well, it didn't happen in this case. They didn't come out to see that was hooked up.
Well, then did Jill Sanders check that when they checked the plans?
No. This is all on the fire marshal's shoulders.
This is not a deficiency on the part of the contractor that put the jail together?
Well, if it's not hooked up, if this has not been hooked up to the water supply from the old jail so that we can actually see what's happening without having to hook up another pipe, then it will be the contractor's fault.
Well, all I'm trying to figure out is, do we need to write a letter to Johnson explaining?
We can. You know, why can't we get more information about what's hooked up and what's not? Because I can send that to Johnson. Yeah. And the other issue is, when I'm talking to the rep that's going to be looking at this, he said, you know, I have to see whether or not they had intended to simply grandfather the connection between these two jails together or not. And many of the items that we're talking about here in the old jail have been there for years. I mean, the doors have been doors for years. These are rated fire doors. Are they not? Why? This goes all the way back to Curly McDonald. He was the one that probably first inspected that jail building. Why am I hearing about it now for the first time? Why now? What's the issue now? And he suggests that we may be losing our grandfather status on that building, at least in terms of the fire marshal's office. And that there will be new standards for life safety and fire codes that will be applied to that jail, and we'll be inspected to meet them. Now, when I spoke with the jail standards, I showed all this to jail standards, and they were here. Jail standards says that the fire marshal's office has done things in the past or just changed the rules in midstream on us. We can't change it. If the fire marshal says you got to do it, you have to do it. And it'll be our position that anything the fire marshal says you have to correct, you'll have to correct in order to meet our jail standards. So if we're beginning to lose grandfather status on fire safety issues in the old building, jail standards is going to hold us to it. So that the grandfather clause that has kept that going for so many years may be sliding out from under our feet slowly but surely, and this may be the first indication of that. I'll know more by the end of the week, but the soft stuff is done. Now it's a question of the money issues to see how much it's actually going to cost us to put that back in shape with the post indicator valve and the doors and the automatic.
If there's items in here that should be brought to the contractor's attention, I think we ought to note them and write a letter.
There'll only be one. That'd be that post indicator valve. And I could send a letter to Johnson and say, we got some issues here with post indicator. As soon as I see exactly what the situation is. We may slide by doing nothing more than hanging up a couple wires.
Was that post indicator valve in the blueprints?
Yeah.
So the fire protection people,
the monitor should have been hooked up to that.
They're the ones that are the drop the ball there, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they're a subcontractor of whatever Johnson had. That's Johnson's subcontractor. You know, he's the one that brought them in to do the job. So as the overall project manager, he'd be the one I'd go to and say, hey, your subcontractor dropped the ball on this.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, Terry.
So, you know, we'll get it squared away as to how that's going to go as soon as I see what's hooked up and what's not. But one of the other things you brought to our attention was using the jail for storage, the old jail for storage, is going to be problematic as long as it remains in the jail. And the issue it brings up is the storage of combustibles. Many of the things that we keep over there burn, and if you start adding to the fire load of that building, it becomes a more an unsafe environment. And the first place he pointed out was things that were stored in the generator room. The only thing that could be in the generator room is the generator. So the things we have in there have got to be moved out.
What type of things are in the generator room at this time?
There are two things. Actually, this kind of the neat part about it is a couple of those things belong to fire marshal. He's got to come and get his own evidence out of there. One was a burned chair, one was a burned couch. That's kind of slick. But the rest of it was evidence that we're holding for county cases. So we had a chance to come back at him on the other deal, but this is something I'm watching fairly closely with fire marshal, because if there's a place where the old jail is going to be in a jam, it'll be with this organization. So we're going to get this squared away and make everybody happy. Okay. And that is the is really the extent of the reports on the substance. Any questions?
Terry, I got one question for you.
Yeah.
How come we went from October, and this could be heat, gas, or whatever, 45 to 53.10?
For on a per diem basis?
Yeah.
We didn't spend actually that much money, but the more prisoners we have in October, we have more than we had in November. The more prisoners we have, the more economical it is to run. So we had lighter load this time around.
Population going down is what?
Population dropped for one thing. It spiked us.
Okay.
And then in November, we had two prisoners. We had to have surgery. We ended up with one with appendicitis and somebody else with another problem that we had to send to the hospital for surgery. Well, those bills came in the month of November, and that kicked us in the medical category. And although those costs are spread out over the number of inmates we have, when you have a lower number of inmates, it doesn't get spread out quite over so far an area.
Is there any recourse the county can has to go back and get those medical fees? Do those inmates have insurance of their own?
If they have insurance of their own, we can file on their insurance. But these don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We've been successful in the past on the rare occasion that people have insurance to do just that. So we've gotten it back in that regard. Or just build it directly to their insurance. Have it sent straight to them. We never even got involved in it. And we've had a couple of cases where we took, we took two women to the hospital for babies. One into labor. So rather than be stuck with that, the county attorney made some arrangements to have them given temporary release. So while they're in the hospital, no longer our responsibility. And that saved us whatever childbirth costs these days. And I'm sure it's more than a few bucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
So that saved us some money there.
I know we crossed that path on maternity before. We had some in here in the jail, and we got them out of here before we ended up paying for that.
Most of the time, we're in the 40s on a monthly basis, so what it costs us to house somebody, you know, $40 and some odd cents. But in January, and then again in July, and then again in November, we're in the 50s. So that spikes up like that, but for the rest of the time, we're usually down in the 40s. And for the year, we're below $50 an inmate. We've actually been fairly static in our per inmate cost. And then when you factor in inflation, we've seen a drop in terms of what it's cost us over the years to keep, in the last 2 years that I've been here, to keep an inmate.
Still getting a few new federal marshals?
We get a couple more. We're back up to 27 and a half on average, so we're picking up additional inmates. So they begin to give us some more people. And that's helped. And then we file for, but we have yet to receive, so it doesn't show up in this report. The last of the jail reimbursements, you know, they're phasing that out, but we did file for the full shot. And we should get around $50,000 from the state for jail reimbursement for this first quarter. And normally they pay the first quarter. They've got money in a kitty for that. Everything else is a crapshoot, but first quarter's in there. So we'll probably get $50,000 out of that. So we will have some additional income before the year's over.
Very good.
Any other questions for Terry? Audience, questions for Terry? Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Any board reports in reference to the jail? Member report in reference to jail? Any public comment in reference to the jail?
No emergency business. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn from the Board of Corrections. Comments? Call roll.
Liskey?
Yes.
Roddy?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Yes.
McLaurin?
Yes. Okay, the Board of Commissioners will now resume. Moving to the next item is adopt salary resolutions for elected officials' terms beginning in 2011. And they're listed there. I asked to have this put on the agenda so that we move forward with the issue. If you're not ready to do it at this time, we can put it off another week or two. But I definitely would like to get it done in December. I have asked Joni to send out a memo to the elected officials so that I will be available to meet with them if they'd like to confer with me next week, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So I kind of get their feeling of what they feel about salary should be. And then I can bring that back to you next Monday, if that's all right with you. Any problems?
No problem with that.
Okay. Moving on to the next item, board approval and authorization for chair to sign the intergovernmental agreement between the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality and Dakota County regarding the implementation of the stormwater management plan program. Okay, I need the board's permission for me to sign that agreement.
So moved to give you the chairperson the permission to sign the agreement.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to authorize the chair to sign the agreement. Any questions or comments?
Roddy?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLaurin?
Yes.
Liskey?
Yes.
Moving to the next item, Chet and Mr. Kellogg would like to talk to us about C Street.
I don't know that I have anything else to add. The last meeting has asked to be held over so you guys can talk with Fred. I provided Fred with an estimate on how we came up with the total cost.
Was there not a discussion about making it wider?
There was some discussion. I don't know that we made a decision about that.
Anything you wrote to me?
Kim, have you had a chance to review this
yes.
contract? Everything is in order.
It's pretty standard. There is a clause in there that limits their liability to the amount that they would be paid, which is also standard, but just so you know, that's in there.
Okay. I would move to approve this engineering agreement between the county and Olson & Associates, CF.
I will second that.
Motion made and seconded to approve the engineering of C Street and for the to sign the agreement. Any questions from the board? Question from the audience? Okay, call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLaurin?
Yes.
Liskey?
Yes.
Roddy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Chad.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you, Fred. There are no tabled items. Commissioner report.
We haven't had a meeting with the law enforcement center last week due to the weather. They postponed it, and they're supposed to let us know when they're going to have them meeting, the law enforcement center. You don't know when they're going to
And PNZ, there's no meeting for the month of December.
No meeting?
No meeting.
Okay.
The road department's ready for spring.
Yeah. I second it.
Well, is that right, Fred?
Think warm.
After Tuesday, we're ready.
Any other reports? Okay. Member reports? Public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on any issue that was not on the agenda? You'll need to sign in.
Okay. This is what we've talked about before for quite a while. Another road for us to get out of where we're at. Because Sunday that train was broke down. They had mechanical problems for at least 50. It might have been more, 50 minutes, where we couldn't get out. The highway was, both ways, was stranded. And it's just simple. We need another way out of there. And it's more than emergencies now, because we found that out yesterday. My sister had to be at the credit union at 10:30 to catch the train to Fremont to ride a... She paid $60 for this ticket about 4 months ago. So everybody was meeting at the credit union. Well, she's sitting out there waiting, and she calls me, and she says, can you call anybody to get this train moved? Well, we called the police, and they said they'd already called. And I said, well, you're going to have to call again. I said, it's been a half hour already. And so they did, I guess. And, you know, I understand it's the train's fault that this broke down or whatever, the mechanical problem. Well, I shouldn't say fault. It just broke down. I don't know what happened. But it just proves that we out there, 25 houses, need another road exit out of there.
And there is any other roads.
I'll tell you what, my heart was fluttering so bad because I'm worried about Peg making it into the credit union. Bill says, what's the matter? And I said, I don't know, my heart's doing flutter, so I took a blood pressure pill. And, you know, if I'd had to call rescue, I mean, I'm glad I didn't, but, I mean, it's going to happen. Someday, somebody is going to need an emergency thing out of there. And you can't get out when that train's... And it's trained... what gets me, it's on the highway, too. The state should be able to do something.
And this is the first time it happens?
Oh, no. Many
I
mean, it seems like it happens, because I did call you, and there wasn't an answer, and I told Bill, I said, it seems like everything happens on a weekend. And I said, you know, people go to church on Sunday, they go out for dinner and stuff, there's nobody home, and it's been stranded there 7 hours about 9 years ago. And we had a train derailment when that elevator first came out there. And like I've said, a lot of times when I was waiting for work, it would sit there for 45 minutes. I mean, they're spotty, but they happen, and something's going to happen big out there sometime. It's going to be a house fire or something, and they aren't going to be able to get in. Joe Mack's gate was shut, and the grain elevator, I tried to call them. I tried to call their 800 number. All I got is this Dakota City. They're closed on Sundays and the hours and stuff. So it's kind of we're trapped. And I know I brought this up before, but you guys need to think about it. We need to have something done.
Okay. There was a situation down at Jackson where we put a temporary road in, and it's on emergency road only along the tracks. And that's because the fire trucks are overweight for the bridge. But I don't know if a person could contact the railroad, if we could use the north side of the tracks there and put a tube up there and put a road to go down there and have them go along the north side of the tracks. I know it'd take some work to clean out the debris and the trees and stuff up there. But there again, the one in Jackson was emergency only. You know, that would be the only time, and then you're going to have people that are going to try to be using it all the time, which I farm that parcel of property, and I know that when a train blocks that track, they cross my field when crops aren't there. But
Bill said that about a four-wheel, if you could get a four-wheel to get Peg out to the highway and then up there, and I said...
But it would take, I would imagine that's a mile. No, it wouldn't be a mile, would it?
Not quite a mile.
The problem we had with that, Rick, we looked into going out. You run into Highway 77 where you got they're not wanting to put in another intersection because there's four lanes of highway there that has to be crossed. If somebody if there is a train blocking it, they can't go south because of the train blockage. So that means they gotta cross the southbound lane to get to the northbound lane to actually do any good.
Right.
And
but it can be done. You can cross there because I've done that. I've turned before the tracks, and went south or went back north.
It's just the state didn't want to be. I asked the local engineer for the state, and they didn't feel that they could make an intersection there. Is what they felt.
Well, And I understand that. But I'm wondering in the case of if we put a road along there and it was an emergency, that we could get a variance to do that. Because these people do have a legitimate grain.
Oh, man.
I've been stuck over there, too. I was stuck over there this year when they moved the train in and for the grain, and it was a 25-minute wait.
The rescue squad comes from Covington, Dakota City, correct? There lies the problem. They're on the south side of the tracks. To actually get them to the north side of the tracks and to get, you know, to use that for an emergency is the problem.
Right, but, you know, and I understand that part. Dakota City is their response, but there's also Siouxland paramedics and South Sioux City that if they couldn't respond, that they would respond, and they're still not going to have access unless they use the helicopter. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to go the extra mile and see what we can get done here. You know, I think we need to contact railroads, see if we can get easement along there, which we have in Jackson, for an emergency exit only. And then we need to contact the state and say, this is what we're up to. We need some kind of a variance so we can get these people if they have a heart attack or whatever, so we're not liable. And I know that the county's got the equipment to go along there and clean that brush up and straighten that up. So,
can the road department look into that situation?
Well,
you spent some time over there?
A considerable amount of time trying to get this done before with landowners and the railroad right away. And I think the state assumes that if they open that up, it's going to be they're afraid it's going to turn into a full-time road. It's a quicker access.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to assume that they're going to use that all the time, not just an emergency. And that's where the state's going
how
to say.
How can you prevent that?
I don't think you can.
I don't know how you do it. You could put a gate up there, but then there you go. You're locking it again. So
we have spent, a couple of years ago, we spent some time on this thing, met with several people out there, Fred and I. And
They don't block it. We're out on, what is it, F Avenue?
Isn't that going out West Street?
We have an entrance over there.
They got an entrance over there if we could use that. But that means you got to go west.
That's what Dakota City's rescue squad has a key to come around and come in the gate from the west.
Right.
You got to go north. That is close.
That's about the only way it's going to be able to work. You know, that really.
Okay. I've got a picture back in 1923. No, 1943, when the flood, there was a flood back then too, in 42 or 43. And there's that picture, and you can see the lake out there. And it's a distant picture, but it's behind Tramps there and Holmsteins and stuff. That was all water. And I said, boy, that lake must have really been something. That is, to me, I know it's owned now, but I always heard years and years that it's still state-owned lake. And how it got bought up, I don't want to get into that. But it all got bought up. But there's that one stretch north of Marty Hohenstein's that land is used for nothing. Why can't they curve a road and come out there at Attica? That is so simple, in my mind. I mean, I'm not an engineer, but I'm just saying. That's land that's not used. They don't use it for pasture. It's just kind of like a, I don't even know if there's water. Maybe there is swampy down there. I don't know. But it seems to me you build up into a road. I know they don't want to give that up. It's not used for anything. I don't know.
But are you talking about the piece of property that lies between Wilkerson and Jameson and Hohenstein?
Further north of Marty.
Yeah.
Where Larry Albanaceous has his road is between Larry's road and Marty. That land there, I don't think it's used for anything.
But it's getting to it. How would you cross to get there?
That I don't
care. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I need engineers in here doing that.
The only other,
Otherwise, you got to go west, and that's a long way out of the road. Or the other day, they did have a helicopter come in to Mark Albanaceous when that guy had a heart attack.
Yeah.
All right, any other comments?
Something to ponder for you guys,
Well, I did. I talked to your husband about it, and he was telling me behind your house, too.
Yeah.
Just behind
but
your house.
But then that runs into Larry,
Maybe we could put a tube underneath the railroad tracks.
There you go. And that's
it. It can be done.
Subway.
Is there any other issue you'd like to bring before the board? No one coming forward then. There's no emergency business. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. Comments? Questions? Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Biscay? Brody?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Thank you for coming.
There's cookies.
This must be yours. There's